461 years. She went ahead and she kind of gutted it out, rebuilt it, and I had a chance to sleep in both places because I visited her a handful of times. And so that means, just kind of give you a perspective, the oldest house is actually made in 1621, but when I was looking at it, I kind of questioned, you know, the reliability of that. But there is a house that is in Fairbanks, Massachusetts. How do you like that? And it's called, was built in 1637. Now, just again, give you a perspective here. That house right there is 77 years older than that oldest house in the USA. So we have this house, and the crazy thing, it sits against this big rock, and this huge thing. She actually has a little garden there. And on top, that is the castles. Those are castles. That is built over 900 years ago. So my point is that she was able to take something that was kind of broken down a little bit. She put a lot of resources into it, and she rebuilt that house, and it is such a great place to visit. I mean, it looks great, doesn't it? And going inside, wow, amazing. So the question is to this morning, and we're going to answer these questions down the road at the end, is God rebuilding First Presbyterian Church? Is God doing that? Two, why hasn't the pastor search committee found a new pastor in the last couple years? Three, is it my church? Is First Presbyterian Church my church? Four. Amen. Amen. Number four, why don't we have a real pastor right now? Why don't we have a real pastor right now? We've been waiting too long. Five, are the ruling elders of this church truly following God's will for this church? Are they? Six, why can't we go back to the old days before our two pastors left and with COVID? Why can't we go back there? Why can't we go back there and just do it the way it was? Okay? Number seven, what are the responsibilities of the members in this process? So we're going to be answering those questions here. I'm hoping that the answers be good for all of us. But we have learned for the last month this great story. You got to remember, the Bible is about a story from beginning to end. And we always need to focus on the stories that are there to really understand what God is trying to reveal to us. So in Ezra and Nehemiah, we know the story is this, that for many years, God was trying to tell his people that you got to change your ways. What you're doing is terrible. You're turning your back on me. You're turning back on my laws. And this is going to mess you up badly. This is really going. So please, please turn, repent, turn around. He kept telling them lovingly over and over again, but they would have none of it. I mean, that's humans are. We want things our own way. We tell God, I'm going to live life my own way. So they went ahead and lived life in their own ways, and God kept warning them. Sure enough, they brought in an empire. The empire took over the city, the temple, the walls, destroyed it, took their country, and they became slaves to this empire. Now they're living in misery. They're living in very major ministry. No one wants to live like a slave, and especially a Jewish person who has now been removed away from the temple and the wall that protected the temple. Now, see, the temple was very, very important to the Jewish people. It was their physical symbol connection to God. That temple is precious, if you want to say. That temple is amazing. So every time they're with the temple, that reminds them of God's promises, it reminds them of God's goodness, and it reminds of his living presence. And that temple was destroyed, completely destroyed. It tore the Jewish people apart. But God went ahead through Ezra, the prophet Ezra, the priest Ezra, and also the cupbearer Nehemiah, told that the Jewish people need to go back to their country and rebuild the temple and rebuild the wall. And beautifully and miraculously, God was able to soften the hearts of these kings to let the Jewish people go back. And sure enough, they built the temple, which is really, really important. And they did this and were celebrating. But the one thing they didn't have was they didn't have a wall. you know, a very protective wall around the temple, because there's enemies out there that always wants to destroy the temple because they know the significance of the temple to the Jewish people. So that wall was there to protect people from destroying that temple. So it was also very important to build that wall. Now, here's a little trivia. There are actually some pieces still left up from that wall that was created a long time ago, back at the time of Christ and beyond. And that's what they call that wall the Wailing Wall. It's the only physical presence that ties into the temple, the living temple, and it gives them this opportunity to remind themselves that God is here and God is doing a work in the Jewish history. So we got this picture, and we heard through the sermons that there were certain things that God wanted us to look at so that we can follow what God is doing with the temple and especially with the wall. So now we're at the end. We're at the end of the sermon series, and we're getting to the part where they're celebrating because the wall is built, and they're celebrating. And so at that celebration, they did two things. One, they went ahead and opened God's Word and read from this amazing Word, because the Torah now becomes that living representation, that symbolic representation of God's realness into the lives of the Jewish people, because there's no temple. The temple's gone. So that Torah throughout the country, throughout the world, is revered, and they roll out that parchment, and they're very careful, very sacred, because it connects them to the temple that's no longer there in Jerusalem. So we have this. They're celebrating, and I'm going to go ahead and try my best to read these names, and I'm going to, normally what I do is I fake it, but you won't know. You won't know. So let's read Nehemiah 8, 5 through 11. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. He opened that book. For he was above all the people, and as he opened it, all the people stood. Can you see that? They're going to speak from God's word. So they stood, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," lifting up their hands to the heavens, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces on the ground. This is serious stuff. This is sacred stuff. This is like, wow, for them. Also, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akbab, Sabathiah, Hudiah, Masasiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabond, Hannah, Peleah, the Levites, helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. They read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. Gave the sense, or actually was like a preacher, gave them the sense of understanding what this is. And next, and this is what he said, this day is holy. Because we built the temple. We worked hard together. All the people that were there, every type of people, whatever class you're from, whatever class we are, they helped build that temple with the resources they had. They sat there, it's built, and the holy day is to sit back and say, God, thank you for building this temple. Thank you for building this wall. Thank you for giving us the resources, and thank you so much for the word you brought back to us. So this day is sacred. This day is holy. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the Lord. Then he said to them, go your way. This is time to celebrate. It's not time to mourn. It's not time to go away. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine. And send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is the holy day, holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord. See, the joy means that God says, I have reconnected with you, I have reconciled with you, I am pleased with this day, you made it holy, and we are right with each other. And there's joy in that rightness. So, what we learned for the last three, four weeks, is the first thing we learn that prayer changes your life. When Nehemiah knew that the temple was done, he also knew that there were people out there that want to destroy that temple. He knew that if the wall was not there, then that temple was not safe. So he prayed earnestly. He prayed what called as a preemptive prayer, a prayer, God, please do something, protect your temple, make it where we can go ahead and go back and rebuild the temple. And God heard that prayer. They were prepared for it, and God provided the resource for that. And then they go build the temple, which is really awesome, the wall, because he enlisted everybody that wanted to work out. Everyone it did, from the shepherd to the carpenter to everybody that had a place, they went in and they was a part of rebuilding. And they worked very, very hard at it in the story. God's word is sacred. God's word is sacred. See, the temple is gone. Representation of the living God. Okay, it's gone. And for the Jewish people, the Torah is that physical representation of God's living word. Okay. And as Christians, we do have the Torah in here. We read the Old Testament. But also Jesus Christ, the Word of God, came from heaven, gave us His Word, and that Word is sacred because it's holy. The Word is truth. Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. And many times in His Word, He says, listen to me, truly, truly hear what I have to say. This is an absolute because it comes from the source of truth. So this becomes written words that were given to us by God, and this becomes sacred and holy. There's no other book in the Christian is the Torah and the New Testament. This is sacred. This is like a representation of the temple, the living presence of God, and that's why when we read the Bible, we say and we read, this is God's living word to us. He's speaking to us. Let me listen. It's not about just history. It's not about learning a great life lesson. It's not about a self-help book. It's about sitting back and saying, God, what are you saying to me? How does this connect with my soul and my spirit, the living word? So it's just always a beautiful reminder to know that. So we have this, and so we also heard from David, take the keys. Peter was given the task and responsibility with his disciples to take the keys and build the church. And I've given you resources, I've given you a way of doing that, so you are now a part of building my kingdom in this world. Build it. Build it. Be led by my word and my spirit. Build it. In the same way this was happening to Nehemiah, God was allowing for Nehemiah, Ezra, and all the people to build his kingdom. Because the temple and the wall was about God's kingdom. So God is in a process of helping us to build His temple, His kingdom, and there's a handful of ways that we do that. So what I'd like to give you this morning is this is the word, the theme that I want to give you. It's a truth to strengthen our faith. Let us celebrate. God is rebuilding First Presbyterian Church of Fairbanks. Let us celebrate. Celebration is what God wants us to do. Matter of fact, Sunday morning is where we celebrate. We go through the whole week, we miss out on maybe hearing God's word, spending time in prayer. It's just that there's times we do it, but there's something about God saying that I've given you a date every Sunday morning. See, my wife and I have had a date for 32 years. We still have a date on Zoom. She lives in Western Pennsylvania. But it's our time to look for today where we can get together, our time, without the kids, and we just focus on each other. And what a blessing for our marriage and for our relationship. So God says, I'm going to give my people a date, a holy day in which we can come together and we can celebrate. Celebrate what? His goodness, His love, His grace, His mercy that we have experienced all week and that we can count on it for the next week. So we get together and God says, I have given gifts to the musicians. I've given gifts to the teachers. I've given gifts to Paul back there who is the sound man. I give gifts to the preacher and David to come together and share my word, my living word, my sacred word to us so we can celebrate the liveness. That's not good grammar. But God is living. God is alive. And God presents himself through all of this. This is his day to us, a beautiful day. Just a reminder of that. So we celebrate, and celebrate every time we get a chance. You know, there's so many days that are holidays. There's so many days that are holy. And so please celebrate. Well, now the next part, God is rebuilding First Presbyterian Church of Fairbanks. So let's get back to the questions that we have back there. First of all, is it my church? And someone said, no, it is not my church. It's not your church. It's not Fairbanks Church. It's not your ancestors' church. It is God's church. It is God's church. It is God's church. And it's God's agenda. We never take ownership of this church. God owns it, and we have to remind ourselves on a constant basis. And when someone owns the church like God, we listen. We listen. We ask God, what do you want us to do with this church? This beautiful, precious community of believers, where do you want us to go? How should we walk into the future? What kind of outreaches, what kind of ways that we can bring into the church to disciple us and to have fun? Fellowship is one thing that is missing from the COVID. We haven't had opportunities to get together. I'm a fun guy. I love the potlucks. Man, all those different types of foods. My plates are so huge because I love it, but I love the fellowship. In fact, I don't know if you know it, but in your bulletin there is a flyer for a wonderful float trip. Oh, get together, have fun, throw people in the water, whatever, but it's an opportunity for us to have fun and joy. God gives that to us. So, is it my church? No. Is God rebuilding First Presbyterian Church? Yes, 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 yes. He is always rebuilding his church. It's a constant thing. It's not stagnant. It moves and it moves, and we're listening. And right now, we have gone through some difficult times. We lost two pastors, and we had COVID to deal with. So what's happening? The church is looking differently. The people are looking differently. God says, I want you to rebuild my church, again, may in a new way, in a way that is going to be different because you have to respond to all this stuff over here because it's going to be different. But trust me, God says, I'm rebuilding it. And it takes all of us to rebuild this church. So, is God rebuilding church? Why can't we go back to the old days before our two pastors left and with COVID? Going always back to the old days is a hard expectation. Can you expect me saying to myself, you know, I'm going to go back when I'm 20, and I'm going to live the way that I'm 20 years old. I'm going to dunk the ball like I used to. I'm going to do all the crazy things, and I'm going to expect that from me at my age. I would have a very, very sad life. So we say, God, okay, what do you want us to do now? Why hasn't the pastor search committee found a new pastor in the last couple years? Remember, it's not our plans. It's not our timing. It's God's timing and God's plan. There are reasons why you don't have what we call is a called pastor, a permanent called pastor. So we sit back and say, okay, God, why should I be angry? Why should I be frustrated? If I'm a part of your plan and you're part of bringing this church together, how can I be frustrated and angry at the fact that we don't have pastors from the pastor search committee? They're doing their work. They're doing everything they could, and God has said to them, no, 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 no. All they can do is respond to God's will and God's plan and God's timing. Christians struggle with God's timing. We all do. We want it now. God says, wait for me. Wait. Trust me. Follow the process. Trust me. I'm helping you. I'm helping you to see things that you need to see. I'm helping you to put together, you know, an opportunity to really, when you find that new person, that you're going to be connected. There's going to be a wonderful connection that you're going to see and you're going to agree upon it. But wait for me. Wait for me. So, are the ruling elders of the church truly following God's will for this church? Yes, they are. We're Presbyterians. We choose this church because of a beautiful system that we believe that comes from the Bible. The Bible says that God has made mature people, and God has chosen, called them, these mature people, to be elders to help understand his will and his word for the church. Now, there is a difference between mature Christians and immature Christians. Mature Christians are this. They are people that are exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit on a constant basis. Immature Christians are, they continue to exhibit the works of the flesh. Okay? So God is in a process of transforming our heart through the Holy Spirit, through His grace, is to have us less rely on our works of the flesh, being angry and letting go, being divisive and letting that go, being a person who doesn't seek for peace but seeks for division, so forth and so forth. God says, now I'm in a process of growing you and maturing you to be a person who is a peacemaker, who loves unconditionally, a person who is kind, a person who is faithful and doesn't run, a person who is a mature Christian. And I want to encourage the nominating committee on this. Do not ever choose an immature Christian. That's why we have those wonderful qualifications. Those qualifications, as you see in Titus and Timothy, are beautiful, beautiful qualities of a mature Christian who is being living, who is living by the fruit that's been exhibited through his life. And also, God's timing is perfect. And there's sometimes we, you know, God says, I don't want to have these elders. Wait. Trust the elders you have now. So we have this Presbyterian system. And what we believe in the system is that this. The Presbyterian, the elders get together. They've been led by God. They've been called by God to be in a position of eldership, which takes on this heavy responsibility to live out their life as a mature Christian, as well as listening for God's voice, depending on His Word and depending on the Holy Spirit. So we get together, we gather together, and we hear the things that are being said in the church, the different ways that we have to do God's will. And what we believe as Presbyterians is that when we get together and elders come together and they pray and they talk, they make a motion, and when that motion is made, we believe it is the will of God. It's God's word. So we sit back as elders, we go, yes, we're following through what God wants to do. This is what He wants us to do. So the thing that we hold each other accountable as elders is that we support this, okay? There are people like myself that sometimes think that maybe this was not a good decision, but that's not for me to say because I am not infallible. I know that I truly trust in those elders. I truly trust the work that God does with this session, and I support their motion. And as elders, we hold each other accountable. If we hear an elder that goes out and trashes or you know that motion, we sit there and say, you know, this is not a good thing. This is not what you're supposed to be doing. Talk to us. Come back. But let's talk it here. They do that with every person within that leadership. So that's important because we believe in that system where God calls elders, mature elders, to come together and hear God to make a motion for the church. So something we got to remind ourselves, this is why we're Presbyterians. Thank God it's not a pastor that's run by a church and everything that that pastor wants or do. Because I'll tell you one right now, I never want to be in that position. Secondly, I can't imagine being in that position. Me making decisions for God, for the whole church? No, no. I can't. That's why I love my elders. I love my elders. So we go from there, and why don't we have a real pastor right now? What's wrong with it? We don't have a real pastor. So, yes, we've had and have three pastors since the two pastors went on. The first pastor is Pastor Baird. And he did a wonderful job for this church. God provided you with this pastor to do pastoral work, do all the things a pastor, plus he also helped you in a transition that you needed to go through. What is also amazing, when he left, you have another pastor that came in. That pastor is not ordained. His title is not a pastor. And I've been around ordained pastors. And I'll sit at him, and I'll look at him going, you're never a person I'm going to follow. Now, you don't display the fruit of the Spirit, and one thing, you don't preach God's Word. And that's why, for many reasons, we left the PCUSA, because there were many that way. But you have this amazing gift from God. Our youth director, David, he was and still is your pastor. He has the qualities of the pastor. He has a heart of the pastor. He loves God's word. He, like I said, he's a teacher and he preaches God's word. I'm reverse. I'm a preacher and I teach. But he is a teacher who is amazing, and he has cared for you, and God has used David to pastor you through a very, very difficult time. He was and is a real pastor. I am a real pastor. God has called me to be here to be your pastor, to do all the things as a pastor: love you, care for you, pray for you, know you, teach God's word for you, all of that, until you get your other pastor, who's also going to be a real pastor, okay? But God has a time and a plan for all of us, and we all are doing the work. We're all responding to that plan. We have to trust in that plan. So, what are the responsibilities of the members in this process? The responsibility is this: step up. Step up. See, it's very easy to be on a cruise ship and everything's doing really well. The food's great. The music is good. The seas are just doing well, floating, and you're just having a good time. And it's fun to be on a cruise ship or on a boat that's experiencing those types of beautiful, normal, whatever behavior that the sea does. But where it really matters is when the seas get rough. When the boat starts shaking up, when things start breaking apart a little bit, that's where leaders, that's where members of the church, they step up. You're committed. I've heard all of us here. You're committed to the people. You're committed to the work of Jesus Christ. You're committed to the future. And God is going to use that to build this church up. There's people I've left for their reasons. And sometimes people leave from a boat that's in a storm. But you have been through all of it. And God is saying, continue, step up. Continue to step up. Be a part of all those people that were building that walls of Jerusalem. Because God is going to continue to count on you, not to be passive. Throw that word out of your vocabulary. God never intended for his members of this church to be passive. That means to be sitting around and not contributing to the family. Hear God's word and say, God, how can I step out? How can I contribute to the building, the rebuilding of First Presbyterian Church? Listen to God's voice. So, this is a time to celebrate. Grab your hammers, your skill saws. You know, get together and know that God is leading us. He has a perfect plan, perfect timing, perfect pastor, perfect, everything that you need, and it's happening right now. God is still moving. God is still building. God is still providing us with many opportunities for outreach, for mission, for all that. And the session has been a part of that. They stepped up and are following God to continue the rebuilding of the church. So we need to pray for them. We need to thank God for them and all the leaders here. So, we need to pray. Pray, God, who is this person? Who is this person? Who is this person? So, there is a person, male or female, there is a person that God right now is working on the heart of that person. And what happens is God is going to provide a call for that person at the right time and the right place. God is working on our hearts. God wants us to be healthier. Healthy, healthy, healthy. Now, for all the single people here, I'm just going to divert a little bit. I have a son who is 27 years old, and he doesn't have a girlfriend. And this guy is like, you know, big guy, handsome. You know, that's my perspective. That's dad. but he's frustrated. And so Josiah and we have these talks, and say, you know, you got to realize that there is a person out there, a soulmate, and that God has the right timing and the right time and the right person for us. You just got to wait on God's timing. Got to wait on his plan. So in the meantime, you know what you can do? Get healthier. Get healthier. Grow in your maturity as a Christian. Grow that fruit. Because the healthier you are, okay, the healthier you're going to make a decision. The healthier you're going to look like to the person who is looking, calling to you. So God is doing that. God is making us healthier and healthier, and we're learning what that looks like. We're learning what it means to prepare our hearts so when we have that match, we're going to be going, yeah, God, this is awesome. So get the tool belts on. I love using a skill saw. Get those resources. Know that God is continuing the work here. God is rebuilding the church. God is building the church in His image, His will for us. God has given us all kinds of great people. They're here. Wow. And God has also given us pastors. We can thank God for that. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for, first of all, reminding us that you're always building your church, the kingdom of God, and you're always helping us to grow. You're always helping us to hear you and trust in the leadership you have given us. So, Father, help us to wait. Because we know in our impatience, we can choose badly. Help us to be healthier. Help us to wait on your timing, to trust in your timing and trust in your plan. Help us to continue to have that joy that you want us to have as we hear from the Scriptures, a joy that you are bringing us to a new chapter in our lives, and you're here with us. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Please rise.